All right, turn in your Bibles to the book of Jude. There we go. Jude, and I bet you can't guess what chapter I'm going to be in. The last one. Jude chapter 1. Or Jude 3. Beloved, when I give all diligence, I write diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word, Lord. I pray that you fill me with your spirit, Lord, tonight, that we can hear from you, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house and to freely worship and lift up your name. In Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing our series, and the series is called The Blessings of the Faithful. The Blessings of the Faithful. Now, the reason for this, and is a much needed topic, is faithfulness. I mean, the reason why is because people struggle in being faithful. I mean, the Bible actually says, you know, that men will proclaim their own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? That there aren't many that are faithful men. And we talk about that being faithful. You know, we talk about, especially if you think about being faithful, like being faithful to your wife, you know, if someone is faithful 364 days of the year, but they're unfaithful one day, you know, that person's, they're a dirtbag, right? I mean, they're filthy. How dare they be unfaithful? Well, what about when it comes to God? People think they're faithful, you know, to the Lord if they're just faithful, you know, 6 days out of the seven, or if they're faithful, you know, one day out of the seven. They think, yeah, I'm a good person. I mean, I'm faithful. But what about being faithful? We want to be faithful to the Lord, that we want to be faithful. And the Bible talks about being faithful. It talks about blessings that we have in being faithful. And these aren't blessings of material blessings. You know, I'm not talking about material gain, you know. But I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit. I'm talking about having blessings from God. The only thing that can satisfy material blessings, money, that can't satisfy. That will only give you some happiness for a time, but then that ends. But the joy that God can give you, no matter what trial, no matter trouble, what affliction, whatever you're going through, you can have joy. You know, you can have the fruit of the Spirit, you know, in spite of those things, if you're faithful. So we're going to look at being faithful, and maybe this is the wrong crowd. Maybe you guys are the faithful ones. Maybe I should talk to those that don't come on a Wednesday night, right? Or those that, you know, many people don't go to church anywhere on Wednesday nights. That's kind of a lost thing of the day, you know. And the reason why is because, you know, churches, they drop that off of their schedule because people don't come out. People don't come. I mean, and sometimes I understand it a little bit because I'll study for 8 hours for a sermon, and then like hardly anyone will come out. And I can see the struggles and frustrations, but I'm not willing to give that up because I know that midweek service is something that you need. You need that to get you on for the rest of the week, that you need to be there to hear the Word of God, to be fed. And of course, you're not just fed at church, you're fed at home, you know, through the Word of God, through your own studies, but you need that fellowship, the encouraging one to another. However, tonight we're going to study about the blessings of being faithful. We're going to look at a topic that has become unpopular to teach. In fact, the Bible tells us that in the last days that it would be. Preachers and churches have laid it aside at the demand of popular opinion. Men claim that, well, times have changed and so we should also change. You know, and that's true that men has changed and times have changed, but God's word has not changed. Tonight we're going to look at the blessing of being faithful to the faith, or faithful to the doctrines of God's word. What is faith? Well, when it talks about the faith, like here in Jude chapter 1, verse 3, it said, "Beloved, when I give all diligence, I write unto you the common salvation is needful for writing to you, and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for," it says, "the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints." Here he's saying that we need to earnestly contend. That means we need to agonize. We need to fight with all that we have. For what? For the faith. What is the faith? The faith is what we've received, he says, from the saints. What has been delivered from the saints. So it's talking about the doctrines of the very word of God, he said that we need to stand on them, that we need to fight for them. Why? Because verse 4 it says, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we need to earnestly contend for the faith. The truths of the Bible, they were delivered, they were preserved in God's word, that we have God's perfect word. And he's saying that this has been delivered to us, that we need to stand for the doctrines of God's word. Today we live in the Laodicean church age, right? You know, over in fact, look over that in Revelation. I believe it's in chapter 2. Or chapter 3. In chapter 3, in verse 14, it says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increasing with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Here we talk about the Laodicean church. And most people are familiar with the Laodicean church, the seven churches, and this church here is the Laodicean church. It's about the lukewarm church. And if people say, well, it shows these different ages and different time periods, and I think everything points to we are in the Laodicean church age. You know, where really truth is you know, relative, you know, where there is no absolute truth, that, you know, we're just whatever you want to believe, you know. And they say, well, I've heard people say, well, the Bible is open to interpretation, you know, that you really can, you can read and kind of make your own idea and make it say what you want it to say. They say there is no absolute truth. And that's the time in which we live in. We find that Jesus gives us the answer to this problem in his name. You know, in fact, in verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen. Amen. What does that mean? It's talking about Amen. So when someone says Amen in church, they're saying that's truth. You know, they're saying that's right. They're saying I agree. They're saying he's saying the truth. So Jesus' name, he says his name is the Amen, the truth. He is the faithful and the true witness. That here we find that the truth, that we need to look to the words of God, we need to look to the truth and realize there is an absolute truth, and we need to repent of our lukewarmness. The Bible talks about the doctrine, about doctrines of the word of God, and how it's very important that we hold to the doctrines. The reason why I say it's not popular to preach on is because most people don't hear a lot of preaching on doctrine. We'll get into that. You know, people will say, well, you don't want to preach because it may offend. It will cause division in a church. But look here in First Timothy. In chapter 4, in verse 12, it says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Doctrine. We find here that Timothy's told to give a special attendance. He tells them to give attendance to the reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. You find that Paul, writing to Timothy, tells them this, and he tells them there's importance. There's importance in studying doctrine. The Bible tells over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Bible talks about the Bible being profitable. And he says profitable for doctrine. He's saying that the doctrine is important. Doctrine can profit you, and you can get that through the Word of God. As a pastor or a preacher, it's my job to study and to preach doctrine. God commands us to preach doctrine. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. He said that we need to, preachers, they need to study, labor. I mean, it's labor sometimes too. When you're studying out God's word, you're like, I don't understand this, I'm not getting this. You just pray and the Holy Spirit guides you in that, and you compare scripture with scripture, and you seek the truth, and you are to study doctrine. A preacher ought to know doctrine. Why? Because it's his job to be able to teach that to the people. It's his job to be able to help feed people doctrine. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, but if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the word of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Preachers have to know his doctrine. Why? Because he needs to preach the doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 2, it says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You know, we could look and find, I mean, dozens more verses to talk about doctrine and how the importance of doctrine, the importance of preaching doctrine, the importance of knowing doctrine, the importance of studying doctrine and holding to the faith and keeping the faith. So why would people say we don't need doctrine or we don't want doctrine? Why would preachers stop preaching doctrine? And preachers do, doctrine isn't preached often. It really isn't, you know. For example, I remember a guy came to me in church and he was asking me what's the difference between this church and this other church, you know. And I said, I'll just give you one thing, you know. And I explained to him the doctrine of eternal security. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes inside you, seals you into the day of redemption. You know, I tell you how the Bible says, I give you eternal life, and you shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I explained to him that how once you say you become a child of God, and you can't lose it, and how you can get out of the will of God, but you can't, you're in Christ. You're in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that we're kept by the power of God in 1 Peter 1:5. And I explained to them, and they said, I actually asked my pastor about that at such and such church. He goes, you know what he told me? I said, what did he tell you? And he said, let's not talk about that. That's all he said. He said, let's not talk about that. Why not? Because he knows that, well, that will cause division. Maybe I might lose people in my church or whatever. That he's not willing to take a stand on that. I talked to another guy who's coming to our church, and he was telling me that the church that he goes to, he doesn't go there anymore. He goes to our church. However, he's in Florida right now. I was talking about Dan Corbin. And he was coming, and he was saying, he goes, the church I was going to, I asked him about the doctrine of the rapture. And the preacher said, we don't talk about the rapture. Why not? It's in the Word of God. It's doctrine. That, hey, we need to hold to these things. And there's more and more doctrine. And we could go on. We could talk about, you know, the doctrine of salvation or doctrine of a literal hell. And there's some things in God's Word that are very clear that people refuse to preach on doctrine. Why? Because they think it will, you know, offend, or cause division. And doctrine does cause a division. And it should cause a division. It should divide us. It should divide who has the truth and who doesn't. The Bible tells us why people do not preach doctrine. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, if you didn't get that. Because we live in the last days, when Bible truth is not popular, it's out of season. Doctrine is out of season right now. People are not enduring sound doctrine like the Bible says. They want to go somewhere where they can have their ears scratched. That's what he's talking about, having itching ears. You know, they're going to find teachers that will just itch their ears, you know. That will scratch their ears, you know, because it feels good when someone scratches your ears if you're a dog, you know. But But people go because they just want to be tickled. You know, they just want to, they just have an itch and they want to hear that. And so they'll go somewhere, they'll hear someone preach that does not stand for truth. They'll preach a vague message that's pleasing to all people. They preach a message like, you know, how to have a better personality, or, and that's what you're going to get. You know, things kind of like that, that they're not going to, and well, what's so important about doctrine? You know, people say in order to stay in tune, you know, stay with the times, they refuse to preach sound doctrine. You know, church, they get rid of their name, you know, they call themselves, we're the church of love, or we're the church of whatever. They don't tell you because they don't know what they believe. They don't want to stand on anything. You know, they don't want to teach doctrine. Well, what's the big deal about doctrine? Well, over in Ephesians, look over in Ephesians chapter 4. It gives us, tells us some truth about doctrine. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, how do preachers and teachers do that? By preaching doctrine, teaching doctrine. Verse 13, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But the speaking of the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." The Bible tells that he gives us preachers and teachers and evangelists to teach us sound doctrine, so that when certain men creep in unawares, when people come in to deceive, when people come in and teach false doctrine, that we don't blow in the wind. We don't just go with, oh, well, here's a new doctrine. There's a new doctrine that came out a couple years back. It was the doctrine, you know, of dance worship, you know. It might have been a while ago, actually. But anyways, it was newer, you know. They said, we've missed out on this for years, for hundreds of years, you know, that we should be dancing before the Lord, you know. And they'll take a scripture, how David danced before the Lord, and they're saying, we've missed out on worshiping God, that here we've really dropped the ball. Well, the Bible doesn't talk about worshiping the Lord in dance. You look through the New Testament and study that out. You know, and the dance that David did was, he was jumping up, just getting excited, kind of like how you jump up and shout amen, or how do you jump up at a football game and you're excited about a play that just happened. But they take something, they build a whole doctrine around something that's not there. There's all types of new doctrines that come out, and it says we need to learn and understand and know doctrine, that we're not going to blow in the wind as times change. Because what happens is these churches, as time changes, their message will change and their methods will also change. We're going to take a look. This is what I wanted to get to. That was all introduction to the blessings. To the blessings of being faithful to the faith. I'm not saying I have a ton more to go, all right? So don't think it's like I got five more points out of this. This is it, you know. This is, look over in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 is going to tell you what kind of, we understand the importance of doctrine. And it's no doubt the Bible puts a lot of importance on Bible truth, on the doctrines of God's Word. And here I'm going to show you in a personal application of how being faithful to the doctrine will help you in your life. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Very familiar passage. I didn't really understand this passage. I'll read it. Matthew 7, 24. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as having authority, and not as the scribes. So Jesus here, he's telling a story, and he's telling a story about a house. And he's telling about these houses, and there's these two houses, and they're built upon two different foundations. One was built upon a firm, solid, strong foundation, a rock. And the other is built upon sand, a foundation that's weak and shifty, you know, something that is unpredictable, this surface. Well, according to the story, the Bible says that the man builds this house and that was found upon a rock, you know, and he says that he was a wise man. And when the storm came and the rain poured down and blew, the mighty wind came, the storm beat upon the house, this intense storm, it flooded. But the Bible says the house did not fall. Now, the other house was built by a foolish man. He built it upon the sand. This was an unstable, weak, shifting foundation. When the same storm came, it blew the house, and the rain came down, beat upon the house. And the Bible says the house fell, and it says great was the fall of it. Now, we realize both these houses were built. They both went through the same intense storm. One of the houses made it, and the other house did not make it. The other house, great was the fall of it. Now we need to understand that God is building you. You know, that we are that house. We're being built up. We're being built up by God. You think about that. Why is it that some people go through a trial, you know, go through affliction, go through, you know, whatever it is in their life, you know, And they make it out fine, you know. But other people go through that same storm. Will go through those very same trials, and great will be the fall of them. They won't be able to make it through that storm. One person can make it through, the other person can't. And the Bible, this is what he's trying to get across to you. He's trying to explain to us why. How come this happens? Some people get discouraged and they quit on God, while others weather the storm. Verse 28. It's 28. It says, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. This was doctrine. He was teaching them doctrine. The Bible says these people, they were astonished. They're astonished by the teachings of God, by the principles of the Bible. You know, the word doctrine comes from the word doctor. It's what's going to keep you spiritually healthy. Verse 24, it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. You know, he said, I will liken him unto a wise man. You know, he's talking about doctrine. He's saying the doctrine, if you hear the word of God, you listen to the word of God, and you do with the word of God, he said, that's like building your house upon the rock. When you build your house upon the doctrines of God's word and you're faithful to the doctrines of God's word, he's saying when that storm comes and when you go through it, he said you will be able to stand upon the rock, that you will be able to weather that storm. And that's why we come to church. We come to church to hear doctrine. We come to hear the word of God so that we can be founded upon the rock, so we'll be able to weather the storm. We can hear those doctrines, but we need to apply them to our life and be faithful to those. The Bible says if we don't give attendance to doctrine, if we don't give attendance to the word of God, he said, then when that storm comes, we'll just fall. And great will be the fall of it. The Bible said the people, that the scribes there, they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority. I've had someone come to me before and they said, man, preacher, when you preach with authority, you know. And it's not because I'm the smartest guy in the world or anything like that. I'm pretty smart, all right, but I'm not the smartest, all right. But the reason why I can preach with authority is not because it's not my authority.
It's authority of God's word. I'm talking about the rock. I'm talking about the foundation that, hey, when I preach these things, I can preach with confidence. I can preach knowing that this is true. That, hey, if you base your life upon the truths of God's word, if you base your life upon the doctrine, then when those storms come, you won't fall. You will be able to stand.
Authority that we can preach on is the word of God. We have the rock. If we're faithful to the doctrines of the book, we can have confidence. We can have authority. You know, there's many Christians that they're weak. You know, they're wishy-washy in their belief. They're like the scribes. They knew the doctrines, but they weren't faithful to keep them. You know, what about you? Do you know the doctrines? So when the storm comes, the winds blow, and the rain comes, you'll be faithful to obey the doctrine, and you won't have a great fall. You know, here's what the Bible's talking about in here. This whole story is about doctrine. You need to know doctrine. You need to be faithful to the doctrine, faithful to the truths of God's word. First blessing is you won't have a great fall if you're faithful to the doctrine. When critics ask you, you know, questions about your faith, you know, when you start to have doubts, you know, if you know the doctrines, if you're faithful to doctrines, then you'll be able to stand strong on God's word. You'll be able to know what you believe and why you believe it. You know, there's people that will, you know, all of a sudden they'll get questioned by someone at their work or so whatever. They run into someone and all of a sudden they're just lost. They don't know what to do. All of a sudden they're doubting their salvation. They're doubting everything they're going through. Why? Because they don't know the doctrines. They're not grounded in the Word of God. I find that many churches are full of weak Christians. Weak Christians because the preacher's not preaching on doctrine. People aren't understanding the doctrines of God's Word. And then when the storms come, they fall. The second blessing is you will grow. If you're faithful to the faith, faithful to doctrines of God's word, you can grow. We already looked at that a little bit in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. It talked about not being as children, blowing to and fro in every wind of doctrine. You know, it's that we need to stand strong on doctrines that we may be able to grow. Look over in John chapter 7. John chapter 7 and verse 16. It says, Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He said that we'll be able to, you know the doctrines and your faithful doctrines, you're faithful to God's will. He said that you will be able to discern false doctrine. You'll know when you hear false doctrine. You'll be able to mature as a Christian. You know, I was talking a couple weeks ago about that preacher that was on TV. I seen it on like Nightline or something like that. This preacher, he preached in all these different churches. I think he preached in Joel Osteen's, you know, church or whatever. You know, he preaches all over and he was like telling people, you know, you give money, invest it in his charity program, then God's going to bless you 100-fold, whatever it was, you know. And he had all these scriptures that he took that were given to the Jews, you know, and he told them that they were given. And people had given them his life savings. I mean, this one lady's on there, she gave $250,000. Another person, $100,000. And they were giving all their money to this guy, you know, and the guy ends up just taking off with all their money. Millions, I don't know, $100 million, something like that, he took from Christians, just going from church to church. You know, people didn't know the doctrine. If they simply would have known God's word, and they would have been founded upon that rock. When they hear someone saying that, they say, wait a second, that's not what the Bible says. I know the word of God, and I'm not going to be fooled by some false teacher. Bible says in Titus chapter 1, verse 9, it says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. You know, you'll be able to reach the lost. He'll be able to reach people. He'll be able to show people where they're wrong in God's word and be able to convince them with sound doctrine. You know, you got someone at your work. You got a family member. You got a relative. Someone that's confused. Hey, if you know sound doctrine,
If your life is based upon the rock, you'll be able to teach someone. You'll be able to show them and convince them.
Bible says in Romans chapter 16, verse 17, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they are such, serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." You know, there are people that are out there, they're just out for themselves. They serve their own belly, you know. They're just trying to get in your pocketbook, or they're trying to, you know, con you out of something, or whatever they're trying to do. He said they're doing it with good words and fair speeches, and they deceive the hearts of the simple. The Bible says that we are to mark those that cause division, that we are to mark them. And the only way that you're going to be able to mark those that don't have, you know, sound doctrine, that have doctrine that are contrary to the doctrine that you've learned of me, is you have to first know the doctrine. In order for you to tell if someone's teaching false doctrine, you have to know the doctrines of God's word. Blessing number three. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Find that one day we're going to stand before the righteous judge. You know, we're going to give an account on how faithful we are to the doctrine, to God's word. We're going to be judged according to the book. And I'm talking about the judgment seat of Christ. This is for believers. All believers are going to be judged by Christ, not whether they're saved or lost or anything. Everyone who goes before that is people that are saved, but they're going to be judged. Let me judge for their faithfulness to his word. The Bible says that we're going to receive reward. You know, receive a reward to our faithfulness to the doctrines of God's word. But also we're going to suffer loss of reward for what we have not been faithful to. You know, the Bible is very clear. In fact, you know, the Bible says those are wise. They're considered wise that are faithful to the faith, that are faithful to doctrine, that have their house built upon that rock. The Bible is very clear that we are to preach and teach and be faithful to doctrine. And if we're not faithful to doctrine, then we'll fall into the Laodicean category, you know, the lukewarm category, where it doesn't really matter. The truths of God, it don't really matter. Whatever you want to believe is right. You know, we'll fall in the category of having itching ears, just wanting to have our ears scratched. The Bible says we'll be deceived by men that crept in unawares. And worst of all is when the storms will come, you know, we'll fall. You know, I mean, there's so many truths, you know, doctrines that if you're not faithful, and by saying not just knowing the doctrines, but being faithful to them. You know, faithful, that you know when you're struggling, when you're going through trials in your life, you know, that's not the time to run from God. That's the time to run to God. That's the time that you draw nigh to Him because you need Him. You know, you need the Lord. The Bible teaches us, you know, that we're to depend upon Him. That's why we pray, you know, as we pray, we remain faithful to the doctrines of God's Word. It's important. Doctrine is important, you know. Doctrine's not always the funnest subject to preach on, you know. It's laborious as in studying, you know. But I mean, it's necessary. You know, if we're going to grow, we need to know the doctrines. If we're going to be able to convince the gainsayers, you know. If we're going to be able to reach the lost, you know, you need to know the Word of God. Let's stand as we pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I pray, Lord, as we have taken a look to your word on the topic of doctrine, Lord. I pray, Lord, that when the storms come, Lord, when the rain beats down, the wind blows, I pray that we remain faithful to your doctrine, that we'll be able to stand strong, that we'll be able to be wise, we'll be able to convince the gainsayers, Lord, that we won't have a great fall, Lord, but we'll be able to weather the storm. I thank you, Lord, for the doctrine, for the faith that you've given to us, Lord, that you preserve that we have today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the opportunity we had to be in your house. In Jesus' name, amen.